The word resilience is a tricky one. We can get fooled into thinking if we don't fit the bracket or definition of resilience, that we can't achieve a thing, or that if it's missing, then we lack something in ourselves. You actually might not need resilience to be successful. Stay tuned. I'm Paul Keenan, personal trainer and behavior change coach with a passion for helping clients enhance their personal growth. So using some brain science, real client case studies, and anecdotal concepts, baked in a little brioche bun of wisdom, we're going to get you wanting more from your health and fitness, more from your life. I want you to feel better, look better, heal quicker, and perhaps to do something now in your life that you've been putting off. When you learn how to strengthen your mind and develop your awareness physically, mentally, and emotionally, you'll recognize that the only person who's been holding you back is you. I really hope you don't need to listen to this podcast, but if you do, go and take some action. You'll feel better for it. This is the Mind Your Muscle Podcast. I remember when I was in the police, and if you didn't know, I was in that job for 13 years up until 2017 when I left to ignite this path that I'm on now. But I remember whenever there were appraisals or applications for different posts, or even probably the initial selection tests, that one of the things they looked at was something called resilience. And that's probably where I was first introduced to it. Resilience was considered to be one of the core competencies, key competencies, I can't remember the exact term, required to perform any role, basically. So I guess I've been aware of resilience as a human trait really now for about the last 20 years, coming from that time. And resilience is defined basically as the capacity to recover quickly from difficulties, this kind of mental toughness. For me, that translates as a bounce back, I guess, or hold it all together. At times it's that shut up, deal with it, get on with it mentality. Is that a strength? Is that a good thing? I recognize that the more we learn, the deeper we go. And that means we get to challenge previous perspectives and thought processes that we hold or held. But the topic of resilience is maybe present in some aspects when we are dieting, or specifically in doing different diets, sticking it out, holding strong maybe when others around you are trying to tempt you, standing true to your self-commitments, to your word, to your goals, standing true to the process, to the outcomes that you're looking for. So in those circumstances, resilience is probably good. It's a strength. Resilience in other areas of our lives doesn't always allow for healing, though, for dealing with pain, for dealing with trauma. Resilience can be about that thick skin, the carry-on regardless mentality. But surely then, in that context, it isn't a good thing. I mean, I've had really shit periods in my life, and I'm sure you have too. And we all have some aspect of emotional resilience. We have physical resilience, and we have mental and spiritual resilience. Now, I understand that I am the one who manages my emotional state, my physical state, my mental state. And it took me a while to recognize that. And I say a while, it's really taken me most of my life, probably until I was about 36 or 7 years of age. And that realization and understanding came through study, through listening to what I consider to be the right people and the right material. In my life, I try to remain objective and look at and for solutions rather than focusing on problems, because, you know, we have to deal with our own shit, don't we? But we don't, do we? We don't actually deal with it most of the time. We block, we deflect, we ignore, we bury it, we suppress it. You see, there are so many aspects of the resilience model and strategy that almost goes against what we're hearing now in the world. Things like, it's good to talk, you should show your emotions, you should share stuff, you should express yourself, it's okay not to be okay. So the thing is that we actually need to hold multiple truths when it comes to different aspects of life. So it's not black and white. So to be emotionally resilient, to be emotionally expressive, Because too often I feel we hold one way of being, like I said, you know, this kind of black and white rule, this good, bad, yes, no. So showing your emotions, sharing stuff, expressing yourself can also be resilient. Strength through openness, strength through weakness. Weakness isn't a bad word. Being weak isn't bad, but it's seen as bad. We all have weaknesses and they aren't bad. Just like we all have strengths and they aren't always good. So what if we were fluid whenever it came to resilience? That, I believe, would be an admirable quality. To be okay being strong and weak. Okay being hard and soft. Open and closed. Adapting, I guess, like our internal superpowers based on the circumstances that present themselves to us. So again, just trying to move away from this black and white way of thinking and hold multiple truths in that respect. And when we apply that to the concept of transformational change, we must apply it along our three planes of understanding as human beings, our understanding of how we interpret the world and life. You see, we do live on three planes of understanding, three aspects of our being, three aspects of self. In no particular order, you're a spiritual being, so you have a soul, you have a spirit, you have this life energy that flows through you. And most of us, with any openness in our mind, believe that we are connected to something greater than this mere human form or existence. Then secondly, we are the physical beings, so we live in a physical body. The human body, this incredibly intricate and amazing system of flesh, of blood, of bones, of neural pathways, etc. And finally, we have intellect. I know you'll maybe be sarcastically thinking that, you know, some people who don't seem to have or use their intellect, but I know you're just having a wee gig, all right? We have the ability to choose how we think, and therefore when we have the ability to choose how we think, we can choose how we feel. Mind, body, soul. So we're experiencing life every single moment of every single day across those three planes of our understanding. And I want to coach you how to be motivated by your own presence in every aspect of your life. I think we all want to live a purposeful life, which is a life built on our best intentions in line with what we want. However, it would be naive not to prepare for the storm. Storms will come. We have to expect the unexpected a little, or rather prepare for the unwanted, which makes more sense to me. I've never really got that expect the unexpected. Prepare for the unwanted, I think, is a better way of phrasing that. For some of us, though, we end up projecting all our focus and energy on the unwanted. And shifting that is really how I want to help you if you do want to change. It's okay to prepare for the rainy days, to hold the emergency funds, the insurance policies. Why? Because that's freaking smart. It's not negative, it's smart. Because we can't control life. We try to control life, but life happens. Yes, we can manage what we do and most of the outcomes, but sometimes life happens to us. Not all the time, but sometimes. Life just happens. Circumstances far beyond our control. And when life happens to us, instead of for us, we need a plan. We need a strategy. We need something that might help us deal with it. So the emotional resilience technique that I like to use is a simple one, founded on three words. I love that numerical three combination. So it is three simple words. When the shit hits your fan, I want you to consider that you release, that you reframe, and that you project. So release is all about letting go. Can we change it? We can't change it if it's external, i.e. something someone else has done. Restriction, lockdown, price hikes, road closures, access restricted, limited openings, etc. If we can't change it, then dwelling on it as a problem is fruitless. And we become focused on the negative, engrossed in the problem. For lots of us, we will become obsessed on the thing. How often has that helped you in your life? Obsessing over something that isn't what you liked or wanted. Really? Has it helped? Probably not. The person, the job, the relationship, the parking space that someone nipped into before you, the way someone spoke or looked or even breathed at some point in time, how long did you hold that breath for? And who was the one that ended up suffocating? Who was the one ended up hurting? I can pretty much guarantee it was you, because you can't hold a hot coal and expect the other person to get burnt. So release, let go. Then it's reframe, a different perspective. What can we make it mean now? What is the good in it? Where is the good in it? Let's find something. It's not about the situation being good. It's about us making good of the situation, because we have that choice. Like I said earlier, we're so good at focusing on the bad things, only seeing something as bad. And yes, it's likely bad at the start. Bad when it happens. You feel bad in that moment. It is shit. It is hard. It is unwanted. We won't see anything else but that. And that's okay at the start. So as much as we want to look for the good, we don't have to ignore, suppress, or bury the bad stuff. It's actually okay to sit with it for a while, because that is how we process a thing. I think too often in the personal development space, I've heard this rhetoric of immediately going to the positive. But we doing that, I think we negate our need to process and deal with a thing when we try and flip immediately, especially if what we're dealing with is a big deal. Now, just to be clear, I'm not talking about your server getting you thick cut chips instead of skinny fries here. I'm talking about real situations and experience in your life that cause emotional turbulence, impacting your physical, mental, and emotional states for hours, days, or weeks. Eventually, we have to start to reframe, change what we are making it mean. And once we've created a little wiggle room or breathing space with the reframe, then we come to the last of our three prompts. We have to project. Release, reframe, project. And this is all about the new intentions. What are we going to make happen now? What are we going to make it mean in the future? It's very much aligned to law of attraction stuff and an idea of segment intending. It's kind of like breaking up your goals into mini goals. Segment intending is all about breaking your day or activities down into their own individual segments and deciding the outcome you're going to get from each. The outcome you want is more likely if you pre-plan it, pre-pivot, and project it. We look at the goal in each little piece of your day. For example, okay, fitness workouts here, or fitness examples, morning workout. And you're going to be up ready, early, to start the morning workout on time and filled with energy and enthusiasm, you know, knowing that I might feel tired on waking, but that this will shift once I'm up. By the end of the session, I might feel physically tired, but I'll feel fulfilled, knowing that I've accomplished the first two or three tasks for the day already. So that's an example of a morning workout. Another example could be driving or traveling to work. I know that my journey to work will be calm and relaxed because I'll be leaving on time and we'll have a pleasant journey, arriving to work happy and ready to start that part of my day ahead of time. It could be in work and dealing with awkward, melting customers or melting colleagues. You reframe your project, okay? So what you're going to project now is that when I'm in work, I'm going to act in a way that is in line with how I want to feel. So I'm going to be happy. Happiness is a choice. I'm going to be confident. Confident is a choice. I'm going to be confident and assured. And I'm going to support people around me like I want to be supported. Think of this process like the caterpillar, like the chrysalis, and like the butterfly. A transition that might not look pretty at the start, but can 100% look completely different after a short period of time. How many of you are going to actually try and implement that in the coming days? Probably very few, because only about 3-4% of people are actually willing to change. You'll listen to stuff, you'll say that sounds good, then you'll do FA about it. There's not much phases me now, all right? And not for any great length of time anyway. And I try not to become too emotionally involved with people, with their stories and of circumstances outside of my inner Satan. And by inner Satan, I mean my understanding that I am the one who manages my emotional state and the meaning that I give to the world that unfolds in front of me. And the world is unfolding in front of you. And like I said before, the world is happening in spite of you. And it will continue to happen whether you're here or whether you're not. I am the one who manages all of that emotional state and understanding and the meaning that I give to things. And I realize that it's me, that it's myself that matters. That is self-realization. I try to remain objective and look at and force solutions rather than problems. To listen, not so that I can respond, so that I can actually understand what people are saying and what situations are. I always try to be in a learning phase, and I believe it's important to remain in the question and approach topics that are new to me with a blank slate, so that I don't create a perception based on my past experiences, so that I don't live from circumstances. You know, I try now not to believe that I'm right or that I'm wrong, because right or wrong are only ever someone's perception. I make mistakes, I annoy people, I grow from all of it. Solution focused rather than problem centered. So let your resilience show you that you're not in a box, you're not pigeonholed, that there's not just one way to think, one way to act, one way to feel, and go on to make some change in your life. You didn't need to hear this podcast today, but I'm glad that it was there for you if you did. Until the next one. Look, I know there's lots of people out there vying for your time, so you taking that time for yourself matters to me. Thanks for listening to the whole podcast. Please, for every episode I share with you, try and pay it forward. And look, I got to put my hand out there and ask you for some help. A last request as we sign off. To reach and help more people, I'd love you to take 30 seconds and leave the podcast a decent review on iTunes. Or if you think it was crap, just say so, because at the end of the day, it's only a belief. Thanks for listening.